appreciated both of the songs. I felt they were anointed of the Spirit. The first song, you know what it said, He's all I need. And the Lord is all I need. He's never failed. So we thank the Lord for the faithfulness of God. I have a scripture that I want to start with in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 20. And it says, "Have I not written to you excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the words of truth?" Oh, truth is so valuable today. Truth is the very fundamental foundation of the Word of God and the teachings of God and all of the doctrines of God, and everything about God is founded on truth. There is no lie and no darkness in God. None. Never has been and never will be. Ever how long time goes on, ever how many generations will pass through this time world, God is full of truth. You can trust His word. In our prayer this morning, I was reminded of a scripture that someone gave me when I was on my back in the hospital bed. And it says that God honors His word above His name. I didn't know that was in the Bible. But I'm telling you, it's a very impressive scripture. His word will forever stand, and He honors it above His name. And we know that God honors His name, because He says, "There is no other name whereby men shall be saved." And we can say the same. We know there is no other name whereby men shall be healed. So He honors His name, but He honors His word above His name. And truth is of His word. And it says, "I've written excellent things in counsel and knowledge that you and I might know the words of truth." And then it says, verse 21, and you might wonder, how is this going to connect? "Remove not the ancient landmarks." What do you think that means? What is a landmark? Well, it had something to do in the Old Testament that literally determined property lines, but it has a spiritual application. Truth is the foundation of it all. You don't want to remove any part of the truth. So in the landmarks, what do they represent? For us that have understanding and knowledge and light, and the truth has been revealed to us. Has the truth been revealed to you? Yes. Is it ever being revealed? I think it is. I think that God knows that in our humanity we can't absorb all of the truth at one time. So what does he do? Line upon line and precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little, and he shines light on our path, and he says, as long as you walk in the light, you will not walk in darkness. Thank the Lord. So he says, I don't want you to remove any of the landmarks. And what that represents to us are standards. Can we relate to the word standard? If we've been around very long at all, we know the... Do we have a vocabulary? We know what standards mean in the Church of God. What are the standards of God based on? The Word of God.
Yes.
The truth of God. Who God is. The holiness of God. It's based on that. So he says, I don't want you to change anything. I don't want you to turn anything. One scripture says, do not let the word fall to the ground. I have written down here standards passed down to us from other godly generations. Can that be holy standards? It is holy standards, because it was those who have gone before us and embraced the truth and took the little book. And when he said, eat this little book, and in the mouth it was sweet. Has the word of the Lord ever been sweet to you?
Yes.
Have you tasted of it? Doesn't he say in one place, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted of him? Have you tasted of his word? And then I got sidetracked. Where was I? Does anybody know where I was before I talked?
In the belly.
Oh, in the tongue it is sweet. Thank you. And but when it goes down into the belly, it can become bitter. Do we still eat it?
Yes.
You know what it means for that to be sweet here, and when it's digested in your life and you begin to obey it, and the flesh is trying to draw back, and the flesh is trying to resist, it can be difficult and hard, and it can be a trial, and it can be a test. Are you going to still eat it? But you know what? I am so thankful for those who went before us and passed it down in the purity of holiness and in the purity of truth. And they handed it to my generation. There's not very many here of my generation. My generation is passing off the scene. Your generation may stay for a while. What are you going to do with the landmark boundaries? How important are the standards of holiness to you? So standards have been given to us by other godly generations. And it means it can be represented by deeply held convictions. Did you know you have to have some convictions? And convictions come by the way of the Holy Spirit. enlightening us, revealing himself to us, convicting me of who, of me. Did you know God doesn't convict me of you? I am the one that's going to stand before the Holy One. And so he deals with my soul according. Did you know it's a unique plan that he has? Every one of us are different in our personalities and thoughts and characteristics and family traits. And he deals with us accordingly. Aren't you glad that he deals personally with each one of us because he knows you more than I know you? I don't know you. So the landmarks can also be represented by the fundamental doctrines or our biblical pattern for holy living. That's just good, solid words, isn't it? Don't you like those words? We're going to Jeremiah 6 and 16, and it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." How many is a plural? Because this is a plural word. It's not singular. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the... What are we to ask for? You know the scripture? The old paths. Oh, but that's old fashioned. Are you willing to be old fashioned in this society and this world? Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to follow those things that were passed down by other generations from the Word of God and say, it still works today? Amen. Does it still work today?
Yes.
It is for today. There is no time from the beginning to today that the Word of God doesn't fit. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. So it says for me to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. And then I said, and ask. Ask another question. Where is the good way? And then, I put then in there, walk in it. After we stand in the ways and we look at it and observe it and analyze it. Do you ever analyze the way? We have to analyze it sometimes by the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit will always agree. And then we have to walk in the way. And then you know what it says? The reward will be you will find rest to your soul. Is it worth it?
Yes.
Ezekiel 43 and 10. Thou son of man, shew the house to the house. Now what can that mean? This is Old Testament scripture. It's speaking about God's people, the children of Israel. They were chosen of God, and they were granted something that the other people in the world didn't have at that time. But aren't you thankful that it was passed to the Gentiles? That we are now the house, the church of God. Is the house? So he's speaking to the church of God. And he says, I want you to show the church of God what the church of God is. We need to know, don't we?
Yes.
And it says, let them measure the pattern. There's a special pattern for the church of God that sets her apart from all other religious organizations. But you have to measure it. You have to look at it and study it.
Yes.
And are you a part of the church of God? Are you following the pattern of the church of God? And do you like it? Have you ever wept for the church? Do you love the church and you want to see it prosper and succeed, which means you will prosper and succeed in your life? It adds to the church of God. Every member is what makes up the body of Christ. That's you and me. It goes on, and I'm going to skip down to the next chapter and then come back to this chapter. And it says in the next chapter, it says, they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy. Do we need to be taught the difference between holiness and what God says is unholy? We have to see sin as exceedingly sinful, or we will pet sin. We'll hold a little bit of sin with us, and we won't feel conviction. We won't feel condemnation. We need to see sin like God sees it, don't we? He's going to be the judge of it. At the judgment, he is going to judge sin. And so it says, you need to teach the people there is a vast difference between holiness and unholiness. I don't think we have the time to even cover the difference, but I don't think we're an ignorant people. I think that we are surrounded by unholiness. Anybody else feel that way? In our whole world, in the very air, it seems as though it is permeated with unholiness. There is so much out there in the airwaves, on our phones, that is unholy. What do we do with it? Do we allow the sound of our society to permeate our thoughts? The enemy would like that. The devil wants us to be polluted. Resist unholiness. When you become aware of the unholiness out there, resist it. Turn your back on it. It is of the devil. And we must resist the devil.
Help us, Lord.
And we must believe that what the word says, when you resist the devil, something happens.
Amen.
He will flee.
Amen.
And then we must embrace holiness. God is holy. And he says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's a high commandment, isn't it? It's a high standard. So when we teach the people that there is a big difference between the unholiness of the world and God's holiness, and then it says, cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. What is discernment? It's not been very long ago we ministered in a message and speaking how on part of that message it was how that we needed all of us needed a spirit of discernment. A spirit of discernment is guided by the Holy Spirit that I can know what is right and what is wrong. I can perceive this over here that it, even though it may not be apparent and it may not be visible, I can perceive something is not right with that. And I act accordingly. I have a reservation in my very being that I am not going. Did you know what it says in the Word? Touch not the unclean thing. Oh, it goes into many areas of what is uncleanness. And it says, don't touch it. Don't get close to it. It will have an impact on your life. Did you know that? It does. So it says, cause the people of God, I'm going to put that in there, to discern between what is clean and what is unclean. We're living in an unclean world. The very atmosphere, and it's not just the United States. I want to tell you, I have a burden this morning. I hope you sense it. It's in the world. It's in other countries. It's not just the United States, but we live here. This is our country. This is our society. And I need to know the difference. I need to recognize where the devil is producing such vile uncleanness that is affecting young children. Don't you know his purpose, his desire is to pollute the minds of our young children with uncleanness? You know, we are so protected. When the Church of God took a stand about the television, it was right. But it's more than the television. We have it on our phones. We have it on our iPads. We have it on our computers. And it's just there. But overall, we've been very protected, haven't we?
Yes.
I feel we have. Now back to the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel in verse 11. It says, show them. Who am I showing? The church. The saints. The people of God. Show the people of God the form of the house. What does the house look like? Does the house fit other religions? Does it fit in? The true church of God will not fit in the world with other religions. Remember that. I'm going to insert here, because of late, the Lord has brought this to my mind as counsel for more than one person. Did you know what the scripture says for us not to even inquire or ask about the heathen? Did you know there's a lot of curiosity out there? I wonder what this religion is about. And I wonder, well, I wonder what the, I won't name one. I just won't do it because I couldn't cover them all. There's curiosity. I wonder what they really believe. One of the issues that was brought to me was, how do you deal with an atheist? An atheist didn't get to be an atheist overnight, especially one that was raised among the Church of God. It happened in the course of time. And they gave their mind over to unbelief. And the scripture says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's an unsearching mind. They came to the place that they fully believed that there was no God. And now, how can they ever come back except they recognize their sin of unbelief? I want to tell you something. We can be a friend, but be careful what you inquire about. And be careful with what you listen to. The enemy would like to make you think, oh, you can be a help to them.
Amen.
A lot of times, you can't. You can't. They have given themselves over. Think of the seriousness of that. Protect yourself. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't inquire. Don't ask. Don't ask what this belief is and what that belief is. And it's more than just Christian beliefs. It's paganism. And it's out there. And it's operating. We don't need to know those things. Keep your mind on truth and cleanness. And be able to discern there's a difference. Show them the form of the house and the fashion of the house. Do we have a standard of fashion? In the Word of God, it's there. I may say a little bit more about that in a minute. Show them all of the ordinances and all of the laws and all of the forms of these laws and write it in their sight. What is it, a writing in your sight? What it should be is an example. Those that stand before you should be an example of truth and holiness and righteousness and purity. That's why it's so important. God is calling for all of us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God and honest with the people. So writing it in the sight is to be an example. Verse 12, this is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The church of God is at the top of the mountain. The whole area around about shall be most holy. That's the fundamental standard. It's truth and holiness. And it should be most holy. And this is the law of the house. So, you know, I've heard people say this down through my life. Oh, the Bible isn't really a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts. You ever heard anybody say that? If you haven't, you may hear it before you leave this world, because people get that idea. Oh, it's not just a bunch of laws. It is a bunch of laws of do this and you will live, and don't do this and you will live. Oh, I've made that one. I put that in my words. But don't ever believe that God's words is so shallow that it's not telling us how to live. It's telling us how to live. Landmarks are taught, and we must not be dictators. I put it that way. I hope that in your experience under this ministry, you have not seen me be a dictator. I have an experience years ago that someone came to my house, and I believe that they already had their mind made up when they came. They had made their decision. And they told me what it was, and they said, now, if God says something to you about me, you tell me. Does God work that way? No, he doesn't work that way. And I didn't know what to say, and I didn't say anything. And they left my house, and I went and got down at the sofa, and God spoke to me immediately. And you know what he said? I did not make you a policeman. We're not to police each other. We're not to go into your homes. Check it out. We're not to go into the closets. Well, you can wear this, but you can't wear that. There are groups that do that, but I'm telling you, we don't. We're not dictators. I'm not a policeman. Well, Brother Clifford Wilson said this of God, and I felt it was worthy of quoting in the message this morning. And it was concerning the doctrine of modest dress. And I'm going to add right here that if you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit will teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth, including dress. Do you believe that? I know. I can testify to it. I have several testimonies of how, and remember how I've always told it, that I tried to I tried to make it sound like the voice of God. And it was so tender and so loving. God isn't even going to be a dictator or a policeman. But every time he began to deal with me and teach me something about modesty, he would say it like this: "Won't you give it up for me?" In the softest and most loving voice, I couldn't resist it. And in every case, I said, "Yes, Lord." And to this day, I've never taken one of those things back up. That's how loving he is. So Brother Clifford Wilson, he said this: "God did not and does not regiment his subjects into costume or uniforms. He does require all, regardless of what generation or society." Brother Clifford's been gone a long time. So he wrote this a long time ago. "Regardless of what generation or society, to clothe themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety." That's the word of God. "The commandment is, be not of this world." So now I go back and I have to have the discernment of the difference between God's holiness and the world. Do I fit in the world? Do I look like the world? Am I accepted of the world? God knows how to teach us. And if we let him, he'll teach us. In Daniel, there was an identifying mark of what Satan wants to do to the people of God. One of the things he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God, it says. But it's the next part of that verse I want to give us, because it's his full intentions to change the times and the laws. Now, I've been around a long time, and I have even said in some messages of late, speaking of things that are shocking in our society and things that happen, and we all say, will I ever be shocked again? And then time goes on and we are shocked again. That's what the enemy is trying to do, and he does it little by little. If you think that God works in increments of teaching us, he does. He's that kind of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The devil has the same standard and plan. He doesn't bring it all out. He didn't bring it all out in the 1960s or 70s or 80s or 90s or 2000s. But those that have been alive long enough, you can see the changes little by little. You could say the same thing about the devil. It was line upon line. It was the devil's precepts upon his own precepts. And he began to change the thinking of mankind and how they looked at things. I want to tell you, when I was young and Bernice was young Jane was young. We're the older ones. if there was anything even suggested of abortion, what do you think the whole society would have done? It would have been a cry like never heard. He couldn't do that at that time. It's the same. He just little by little, he began to bring these things, and the people began to adjust to it. And today they're adjusting to a whole lot more than abortion. I'm sorry to say it. But many things are accepted in this world that in our youth would never have been even possible. So he wants to change the times and the laws. Has the devil changed the laws of our country? Absolutely. None of us can deny it. The only thing I can say is the younger generation has come up under these laws, and it seemed normal. Go back to the not removing the ancient landmarks, the ancient teachings, those things that were passed down to us by other godly people that knew the truth. Establish that. Don't be affected by the change of the laws. Brother Daryl Johnson preached a message at Monarch, and he used, and it was similar to what we're talking about, I think. He used the word redefine. Do you remember that message? Does anybody remember Brother Daryl using that term in his message, redefine? He was bringing out how that there were things that he was taught in growing up. And he said, I believe he said he was 61. So he's not ancient. But even among us, things can be redefined. And you begin to see it in a different light. And I don't think you'll have this idea. I don't think maybe we were too strict on that particular line. There are people that think that. Go back to the ancient landmarks and don't remove them. 2 Peter 3:16, it says, they that are, and this is just a part of the verse, they that are unlearned, and that word referenced was untaught. If we quit teaching these ancient landmarks, you will become unlearned. And it says, they that are unlearned and unstable, you know what they do? They rest. And that's not R-E-S-T. That's W-R-E-S-T. What is? It's a very different word. And it means to twist. When we quit teaching the truth in its fullness, when we quit identifying what it means to be holy, what it means to be clean, something begins to happen little by little. Well, I just think we've been a little too strict along that line. It says they're unstable and they twist the scriptures to their own destruction. That is what happens when we begin to fall away and believe something else. I want to encourage us all to pray for ourselves more. Another scripture, Jude 13. Beloved, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Long time ago. It will stand. It was once delivered to the saints. I could take that word faith and I could put other words in it that would not do harm to the scripture. I could say earnestly contend for the truth. And it would not do damage to the scripture. I could say earnestly contend for holiness. And it would not do damage to the scripture. Because that was what was once delivered to the saints. To the people of God. In this verse, this writer urges all to defend faith that the apostles taught. That's what was first delivered. The apostles became the deliverer of truth to all the world. They went into all the world and preached the gospel. And that's where it began. And it says, the teachings or content of the gospel or any moral teachings is not open to change. All of the teachings of the past is not open to change. You may change, or I can change, but the Lord, word of the Lord will not change. God will not change. Do you believe it? Remove not the ancient landmark. I have just a little bit left here. Isaiah 5, it's 1, 2, and 4 parts of those verses. And this, in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, I'm going to give you the positive. Because it's really not a positive parable. But we can look at the positive of it this morning, and I want us to. It's a parable of the vineyard of the Lord. And I said all the effort made for his vineyard to be profitable. What's his vineyard? It's the church of God. It's you and me and the planting of the Lord and what he wants out of our lives. He wants us to produce something in this world that we will be a light to others, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. So I'm going to give you the positive now. Verse 1. I will sing a song touching his vineyard in a very fruitful hill. I want to tell you something. God has chose only the most fruitful ground for his vineyard to grow in. Don't you believe that? Well, I wonder what the song sounded like. I wish I knew, don't you? I think it would have been a love song. In my imagination, it would have been, oh, my dear people, I love you with an everlasting love. I don't know what it said. But in my imagination, he was singing to his people in that tone. Verse 2. This is what he did. He fenced it. Here he's got this fruitful hill, very fruitful soil, lacks nothing to produce the kind of fruit he's looking for. and he fenced all around it, and he gathered out the stones, and he planted it with the choicest vine, the very best. He didn't go to Walmart and get grapevines. He ordered it from the most expensive place that would produce the choicest, the very best vines. This is what he did for us. And then in the middle of that garden, he built a tower. Why would he build a tower? What is a tower for? We could call it a watchtower. Somebody that watched and looked out. There are places, we don't have very many watchtowers in Oklahoma, maybe in certain areas. They watch for fire in forests and such like. But that's not exactly what this watchtower is for. He's watching for an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he's done this for us. He has a watchtower, and he's watching for your soul and my soul. Do you believe it? And then also in the midst of the garden, you know what he built? A wine press. It showed his expectations of fruit. Verse 4, and I put this down here, in my imagination he then stepped back and said, what more could I have done than what I have done? How could I make this better for my vineyard? I don't think that's... Isn't this... Can you see the positive part of this scripture? He looked at it and he said, what more could I have done? In this particular parable, it says, of the harvest, he looked that it should bring forth grapes. He had expectations, but it brought forth wild grapes. Something happened, and those choice vines lost their, I'm going to say, DNA to produce the best. What happened? You know what happened to the vineyard? The ancient landmarks got moved. That's what happened. And it produced wild grapes of no value. I'm going to close with Isaiah 35, verses 3, 4, and 8. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. I want to tell you, the enemy wants us to be weak. Resist spiritual weakness. Resist those things that will cause you to become weak spiritually. And then it says, confirm the feeble knees. It says, say to the fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Say that to yourself. When you pray, Lord, help me to be strong and not be afraid. Behold, your God will come and save you. Oh, does that comfort us? Verse 8, and I wrote this down here. And what will be, will he provide? He'll provide a highway. He'll provide a way. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. I'm telling you, that's what this way is called. This is called the highway of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the wayfaring men, or those who do travel that way. And even though the scripture says here, they are like fools. They don't have all of the understanding. Today, if you don't have all of the understanding, don't be discouraged. God will reveal it. And on this highway, even though you may be a fool right now and you don't understand everything, it says you will not err. You will not make a mistake. It goes back to the scripture that we read earlier. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the left or the right, God will keep you in the way. Does that comfort us?
Yes.
It comforts me. Pray for me.